Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in our series on Jeremiah chapter 51. This will be the last five verses of Jeremiah 51, verses 59 through 64. Before we do this study, I would encourage everyone to sit by themselves and meditate upon these five verses before listening to this study, for it will then make it much easier to follow along and your comprehension will be much greater. But let's start here with verse 59 and read through verse 64. And then we'll go into the introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one, and we'll conclude with a conclusion. Okay, starting at verse 59, the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Seraiah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see, and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it in to the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. In these verses, 59 through 64 of Jeremiah 51, we have the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah when Jeremiah went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into exile in Babylon. This was after the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon in 587 BC, when many Israelites, including Jeremiah the prophet and King Zedekiah, were taken captive and removed to exile in Babylon. But before Jeremiah left the land of Israel into exile, he commanded Seraiah, who was a descendant of Maaseiah, once a high priest, that when he would come into Babylon at some time later than Jeremiah, he was to read from the scroll of Jeremiah, which pronounced all the evil that would come upon Babylon, because Babylon had conquered Judah and Jerusalem and had destroyed the temple in 587 BC. Seraiah was to say when he came into Babylon, O Yahweh, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. Then, after Seraiah had finished reading all the words of evil against Babylon, as written in the scroll of Jeremiah, he was to tie a stone to the scroll and cast it into the Euphrates River and say, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Well, let's look more closely at verse 59 to start with. Once again, it reads, the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Sariah was a quiet prince. In this verse, we first read the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah. And we are given this verse to prepare our minds as to what Jeremiah is about to command Sariah. Now Sariah, which means Yahweh is ruler, we are told, was the son of Neriah, which means Sariah was the son of the lamp of Yahweh, as this is what the word Neriah means. And Neriah was the son of Maaseiah, which means Neriah was the son of Yahweh is shelter, as this is what the word Maaseiah means. Furthermore, Neriah was not only the father of Sariah, but he was also the father of Baruch, the scribe of Jeremiah, the prophet. So Sariah and Baruch were brothers, which helps to explain why Jeremiah would choose Sariah to carry a message into Babylon. For Sariah must have watched his brother Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe, to be so faithful to the Lord, and thus was fully trained and prepared to walk in the similar steps of his brother Baruch, whom we know was incredibly faithful to whatever the Lord commanded him through Jeremiah, even risking his own life by standing firm with Jeremiah, who prophesied the destruction of Judah, Jerusalem, and the temple of his very own people. Jeremiah 36:8 and 32. Now, we wonder why the Lord mentions that Maaseiah was the grandfather of Sariah. When we study Maaseiah, we find that he was the priest in his days. Jeremiah 21:1 and 29, chapter 25, 37, chapter 25, verse 30, and chapter 37, verse 3, which means that both Neriah and Sariah must have been Levites, that is, priests, as well, since they were both descended from Maaseiah the priest. And in that Maaseiah is called the priest in his days, he must have been the chief priest of the temple and was thus responsible to enter the Holy of Holies once a year to atone for the sins of the people. And in doing so, he was a type of Christ who atoned for the sins of his people on the cross, once and for all, having entered the Holy of Holies in heaven to atone for the sins of his elect. So, Maaseiah was a type of Christ, and Sariah then, who descended from Maaseiah, would be a type of the elect, who spiritually descended from their chief or high priest, Jesus Christ. Next, we are told that the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. So, Jeremiah was about to be taken to Babylon along with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, when he instructed Sariah, the brother of Baruch, the scribe of Jeremiah, to say and do certain things when he himself came into Babylon sometime later. We will learn just what Jeremiah instructed Sariah in verse 61 to come. But at this point, let's just recognize that Sariah was a type or picture of the elect who would come into Babylon with a message from God. Yes, Sariah was indeed a picture of the elect after the temple was destroyed in 587 B.C., which was a type of all the churches having been spiritually destroyed on September 7th, 1994, during the Great Tribulation, who would come into Babylon, that is this world including all the churches, with the message of the church's eternal destruction. Now, the last sentence of our verse reads, "And this Sariah was a quiet prince." Literally, it reads, "And this Sariah was a prince or chief of rest." And since spiritually rest must do with the rest in Christ Jesus that the elect entered into upon their having believed in Jesus Christ before May 21, 2011, see Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, we know that in Sariah being called a prince of rest, he is a picture or type of the elect who can each be called a prince of rest in Jesus Christ, because we have each come to rest in Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation, and in Christ we know that we are all princes or kings, Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10. Moving on to verse 60 of Jeremiah 51, verse 60 reads, "So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon." Here we first read, "So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon." More literally, it reads, "And Jeremiah wrote all the evil," or we could say misery or distress, "that should come upon Babylon to one scroll." All these words that are written against Babylon. Of course, he didn't write it to one book back then, because they didn't have books back then, but they had scrolls. So we must say that Jeremiah wrote all the evil, or we could say misery or distress, that should come upon Babylon to one scroll. And this does not need to mean that Jeremiah did the actual writing himself. But his scribe likely did the writing while Jeremiah did the prophesying, as is the case in Jeremiah 36:4, where we read, "Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him, upon a roll of a scroll." And again, we read in Jeremiah 36, verses 17 through 18, "And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book, or scroll." And we read in Jeremiah 36:32, "Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words." So, Jeremiah utilized a scribe to do at least some of his writings, but as to whether a scribe wrote all his writings, and in particular the writings against Babylon, we cannot say. Perhaps when we read that Jeremiah wrote all the evil that should come upon Babylon to one scroll means exactly that, namely that Jeremiah is the one who wrote of all the evil that should come against Babylon to this one scroll. If so, then Jeremiah was more than a prophet, he was also a scribe. But on the other hand, perhaps when we read that Jeremiah wrote all the evil that should come upon Babylon to one scroll, means that he prophesied and his scribe wrote down the words. Whatever the case, we know that the words of Jeremiah against Babylon were written to one scroll. All the words that were against Babylon, that is. Moving on to verse 61 of Jeremiah 51, we read, And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see and shalt read all these words. In this verse, we are told that Jeremiah said to Sariah, the brother of Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe, before he went into exile in Babylon with King Zedekiah of Judah. We read, and Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words. So, once Sariah would come into Babylon, he was to read all the words that Jeremiah prophesied against Babylon. And because Sariah was a type of the elect who went into exile in Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, during the Great Tribulation, after September 7th, 1994, Sariah is a picture of the elect during that time who were commanded to bring the words of God against this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, while leading up to Judgment Day, which began on May 21, 2011. And the words that we, the elect, brought during that time was that the time would come that Babylon, that is the peoples of this world, including all those in the churches, would no longer be able to become eternally saved in Jesus Christ, and unless they then pled with God for eternal salvation, they would never, ever be able to become saved after Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Yes, terrible judgment would soon come upon this world, that's upon Babylon, because they had come into the churches and spiritually destroyed them by false gospels and teachings, and all in the name of Christ. But it was the false Christ, the counterfeit Christ, the man of sin, the Antichrist, Satan, whom Yahweh used as his tool of wrath against all the churches, for it was written that judgment must begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. But now, ever since Judgment Day began, Yahweh's wrath has come upon Babylon, that is, upon this world, including all churches, ever since all the churches were taken over by Satan in the year of 1988, for the damage they had did to God's people during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. Now let's move on to verse 62. Verse 62 of Jeremiah 51 reads, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. In this verse we first read, then shall you say, O Lord, you have spoken against this place. More literally it reads, and you shall say, Yahweh, you have spoken against this place. Notice the great emphasis upon Yahweh having spoken against this place. It reads, Yahweh, you have spoken against this place. That is, it is emphasized at least twice in that Yahweh, you have spoken against this place. Why do we see such an emphasis? Well, it seems to be a sort of reminder that Yahweh has spoken against Babylon. Therefore, although Babylon was used against all the churches to spiritually destroy them during the Great Tribulation because of their sins, nevertheless, Babylon is going to pay for what they've done to the churches. And this is emphasized in that Yahweh, you have spoken against Babylon. Therefore, Babylon, this world, including all churches, will pay for their sins because Yahweh has spoken. And when Yahweh speaks against a place, that place is certain to come under the wrath of God, as this world and all the churches together have ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Now, as we continue in our verse, we are told why Yahweh has spoken against Babylon. First, we read, it is to cut it off. And the way Babylon has been cut off is that it no longer has any possibility of becoming eternally saved. That is, none of the unsaved peoples in the world and none of those who have remained in the churches who all became a part of Babylon beginning on May 21, 1988, when the churches began to be given over to the Antichrist, the false Christ, the man of sin, Satan, as judgment came against them. And I encourage you to click on the link, Why Leave All Churches, if you never read that. Can any longer be eternally saved? None in the churches or in the world can any longer be eternally saved. They have been cut off from eternal life, from Yahweh's eternal promises. They are now all certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day in which we now find ourselves, when they will all be annihilated in the fire of Yahweh's wrath. Next, we are told why Yahweh has cut off Babylon. We read that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast. And of course, the reason why none shall remain in Babylon, neither man nor beast, is because Babylon, which typifies the peoples of this world, including all those who have remained in the churches, and all the animals or beasts on the earth, are now certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in, when the outward form of this world will go up in flame, both man and beast, as the elements melt with fervent heat. But not only has Yahweh cut off Babylon so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but we read that it shall be desolate forever. And, of course, Yahweh is not here referring to being physically desolate, but spiritually desolate. And to be spiritually desolate means that Babylon, the peoples of this world, and all those now in the churches have no possibility for eternal salvation. With respect to the eternal promises of God, they have been cut off. They are desolate. They have no eternal hope, but they will all perish on the last day of judgment day in which we now find ourselves. Yes, they have been made to be spiritually desolate forever because they have no future beyond this life. When the last day comes, all the ones who died and are already in the graves and all those who still remain will be brought forth to eternal destruction. They will never be conscious of anything ever again. It is the end for all of Babylon. Now let's read verse 63 of Jeremiah 51. Verse 63 reads, "And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book," that is, when Sariah has made an end of reading this book, "that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates." Here it is stated, "And it shall be," once again, when thou, Sariah, hast made an end of reading this scroll. We can translate this verse like this: "And it will be when you," that is Sariah, "have finished reading this scroll." Here the word translated as book in the King James is changed to scroll because they did not have books back then as we think of a book, but they had scrolls written on papyrus. Furthermore, when we read, "And it will be when you have finished reading this scroll," it is being spoken to Sariah, the brother to Baruch, who had been Jeremiah's scribe. And since Sariah, as we already learned, was a type or picture, if you will, of the elect, who were sent after September 7th, 1994. That was the midpoint of the Great Tribulation, just like 587 BC was the midpoint of the ancient Great Tribulation. So, and since Sariah, as we already learned, was a type or picture of the elect who were sent after September 7th, 1994, when the temple, that is the churches, had been spiritually destroyed to declare the word of the Lord against Babylon, that is against this world, including all churches, just as Sariah had been sent to declare the words of Jeremiah against Babylon after 587 BC, when the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. We know that when we read, and it will be, when you have finished reading this scroll, it was not only instruction to Sariah of old, but it was also instruction to the elect as they declared the wrath of God upon this world and all the churches, that is Babylon, when leading up to Judgment Day, which began on May 21, 2011. Now, when Sariah was finished reading the scroll of Jeremiah against Babylon in Babylon, he was instructed to bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. We read, "Thou shalt bind a stone to it," that is to the scroll, "and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates." But could this be, what could this be a picture of? Or what does this symbolize? To begin to understand this, we need to first discover what the stone that was tied to the scroll symbolizes. When we look up this word stone in the Bible, we find that it symbolizes Jesus Christ himself. For instance, we read in Acts 4, verses 10 through 12. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone," that is Jesus Christ, "which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And we read in Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 20, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." And again we read in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 8, "To whom coming as unto a living stone," that is Jesus Christ, "disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone,'" again, that's Jesus Christ, "'elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believe he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient the stone," that is Jesus Christ, "which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Thus, from these verses, we see that the stone is symbolic of Jesus Christ. But what then does the Euphrates River symbolize, in which the scroll tied to the stone was cast? Well, we read of the Euphrates in Genesis 15:18, which reads, In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. And we read in Deuteronomy 11:24, Every place whereunto the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. And once more, we read in Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, and he's talking to Joshua, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So from these verses then, we learn that the river Euphrates was an outer eastern boundary to the promised land. It was the great obstacle that one had to cross if coming from the east into the promised land. Spiritually, it is a picture of hell that we must cross over on the bridge of Jesus Christ to be able to enter the promised land of heaven. That bridge, of course, is the gift of faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. If we have been gifted with that faith, then we receive a free pass to cross the bridge into the promised land. But if we have not been gifted with that faith, then we are not permitted to cross into the promised land, but we must pay for our sins by being drowned in the river Euphrates, which is a picture of being cast into hell. So, when we read, And it shall be, when you, that is Sariah, who was a type of the elect, are finished reading this scroll, thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. It was instruction to the elect during the great tribulation that when we had finished declaring the word of God against Babylon, that is this world and all the churches, on May 21, 2011, we were to tie a stone to it, that is to Babylon, and cast Babylon in the midst of the Euphrates. Which means we were to use the word of God's wrath, Jesus Christ, against Babylon, that is this world again, and all the churches, and cast her into hell, where Jesus Christ, the stone, would cause her to sink and to never rise again. In short, ever since May 21, 2011, the elect are to declare the end of this world and all the churches, that is Babylon, by the use of the word of God, Jesus Christ, who will cause Babylon to drown in hell forever, when on the last day the peoples of this world and all the churches will be annihilated forever in the fire of Yahweh's wrath because of their sins. Finally, we're on the last verse that we will cover in this study. That's verse 64. It reads, And thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. In this final verse of Jeremiah chapter 51, we first read, And thou shalt say, Thus shalt Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. Literally, we could translate it like this. And you, that is Sariah, who typifies the elect, do say, Thus does Babylon sink, and does not rise from the evil that I do bring upon her. Notice that the future tense has been taken out, and the present tense is put in its place. It is not that you, Sariah, shall say, or that thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, but it is that you, Sariah, do say, and that thus does Babylon sink, and does not rise from the evil that I do bring upon her. We can change the tense like this because in the Hebrew the tense is not explicitly stated, but it is left up to interpretation and depends upon the context. Back then, when this verse was first written, judgment upon Babylon was yet future, so that the future tense was used in the translation. But now that the context is that of Judgment Day having already begun, so that we can legitimately use the present tense in our translation. So once again, our verse reads, "And you," that is Sariah, who typifies the elect, "do say," and this is ever since Judgment Day began, "thus does Babylon sink and does not rise from the evil that Yahweh does bring upon her." Now, Sariah typifies the elect, as we have already learned, so that when we read that you, Sariah, do say, "Thus does Babylon sink and does not rise from the evil that I do bring upon her," it refers to the elect who are now saying, ever since Judgment Day began, that thus does Babylon, this world and all the churches, sink, and they do not rise from the evil that I, Yahweh, do bring upon them. Why? Well, we learned in the previous verse that the elect are to tie a stone to the scroll written against Babylon beginning on May 21, 2011, and cast it into the Euphrates River. This symbolizes that they are to use the Word of God, Jesus Christ, typified by the stone, to declare judgment against Babylon, and the result being that this world and all the churches sink in hell, as the Word of God is tied to it, as the stone, Jesus Christ, is tied to it. Babylon sinks in hell, and they will not rise from the evil that Yahweh does bring them, as none of them can any longer be eternally saved, which means they will all be annihilated due to their sins on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day in which we now find ourselves. Then next in our verse, we find this strange statement about the peoples of this world and all the churches during Judgment Day. We read, "And they shall be weary." Now this reminds me of what I read in Matthew 11:28, where we read, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." And this word labor carries the connotation of labor with weariness. "So come unto me, all ye that labor with weariness and are heavy laden, and I will give you peace," or rest. The idea is that all you that are weary in labor, come unto Christ, and he will give you rest in eternal salvation. But no one is finding rest in the salvation of Jesus Christ during Judgment Day. And so our verse says, "And they shall be weary." Why are all the peoples of this world and all those still in the churches, that is Babylon, weary? Well, because none are receiving rest in the eternal salvation of Jesus Christ, because there is no longer any eternal salvation or rest available ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. So we read, "And they shall be weary." No, they are not weary simply because they are physically and mentally tired, but they are weary because none of them are receiving eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Thus, when we read, "And they shall be weary," it is another one of the many verses which teach that eternal salvation is no longer possible during Judgment Day in which we now find ourselves. And you can click on any one of the many following links for more proof of this. Well, let's conclude this study. This study has been about the word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah when Jeremiah went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into exile in Babylon after the temple was destroyed in 587 BC by the Babylonians. But spiritually, it is about what the Lord had commanded the elect, who were typified by Sariah, after all the churches, typified by the temple, had been spiritually completely destroyed by September 7th, 1994 of the Great Tribulation by the false Christians who were typified by the Babylonians. And what the Lord had commanded the elect at that time is this: when you come into Babylon and shall see and shall read all the words which were written by Jeremiah against this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, then you shall say, Yahweh, you have spoken against this place, Babylon, to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. So, the elect were to declare that God has spoken against this world and all the churches, that is Babylon, to cut them off, and this was to be accomplished upon September 7th, 1994 and after of the Great Tribulation. And the elect did indeed do this, as they proclaimed that this world and all the churches, that is Babylon, would soon be cut off from any possibility of eternal life when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. They also proclaimed that none shall remain in Babylon, neither man nor beast, after May 21, 2011, because all would soon be destroyed forever on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we would all then come into. And they proclaimed that Babylon would be desolate forever, in that this world and all the churches would soon be without Christ and salvation forever, once Judgment Day would begin on May 21, 2011. Then, when the elect who were typified by Sariah had made an end of reading all the words which the Lord had spoken against Babylon, that is against the world, including all churches, which they did on May 21, 2011, they were to bind a stone to them and cast them into the midst of the Euphrates. The binding or tying of a stone to the words of the Lord against Babylon was symbolic of the elect using the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the stone, to declare judgment against Babylon, which was likened to the elect casting Babylon, this world and all the churches, into the Euphrates River, which typified hell. And last, the elect typified by Sariah are to say ever since May 21, 2011 began, thus shall Babylon sink, and will not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they will be weary. That is, the elect are to declare the end to this world and all the churches, because now that they can no longer be eternally saved, there is no possibility of them ever rising up from the judgment that the Lord has begun upon them, but they will sink until when on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day, in which we now find ourselves, they will all be destroyed forever in the fires of God's wrath. Finally, we the elect, typified by Sariah, are instructed to say of the peoples of this world and all the churches, and they are weary. This is saying the same thing, as there is no longer any possibility of their eternal salvations, because if they are all weary, and they are, it spiritually means that they have no rest in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor with weariness and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But no one is receiving rest from their weariness, so we read that they are weary. Therefore, none are becoming eternally saved. And this is because there is no possibility of anyone becoming eternally saved ever since Judgment Day began upon Babylon, that is, upon this world and all the churches, on May 21, 2011. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh, through our Lord and God Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.